I've been dwelling lately in the book of Ephesians, and there are favorite passages of scripture that you go back to every now and then, and I just want to mention one thing about the book of Ephesians. If you have studied it, you know there are two great big divisions to it, the first half and the second half. I want to talk about that a little bit more. But in chapters 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul is focusing on the great gifts of God that have been given to us. People call it very doctrinal, but it's just filled with these amazing truths. And then you come to the second half, and you get to the fourth chapter, and it says, based on what I said in the first half of the book, I therefore. There's application, right? So he tells us these great things, and then he says, therefore. There's going to be some application going on here. Well, I sat down this past week, and I thought, I'm just going to walk my way through the book of Ephesians and see what I get out of it. And so I tried to carve out blocks of time where I could just go sit and read, and I put a sheet of paper together that has two sides to it, just like that. And I thought, I'm going to just write this down and read it to you this morning. And so that's what I want to do, is read my ruminations on the book of Ephesians. So if you just pass that back so everybody gets a copy of it. And I'll be quiet till you get a copy. In your enjoyed our time of prayer this morning and just thinking of all the blessings God has given us. And I love that about the farmers, right? Those who are producing food for us and how accessible that is. The prices have gone up a little bit, but we've been able to manage so far. We believe God is watching over us and He will provide. Just the abundance that we as a people live in, pretty incredible. I call this paper that I wrote for my own personal benefit, Our Riches in Christ. So let me just read it. Those who are familiar with the New Testament book of Ephesians know that it is divided into two main sections. Chapters 1 through 3 are regarded as doctrinal, and chapters 4 through 6 are regarded as practical. The first three chapters are often referred to as our riches in Christ. I would encourage you sometime today, tomorrow, this week, to read it, those first three chapters. These chapters are rich in Christian truth, and the following passages from these three chapters in Ephesians underscore this blessing. So I just start off by saying, how blessed are you? How blessed are you? Well, that's what Paul does in those first three chapters. But it goes beyond that, even into the last three. You'll see that as we go along here. So I'm basically just going to quote scripture, the Holy Spirit telling you and me how we are blessed. Okay? Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything you need is there. It's been given to you. Do you know what it is? Probably not. Not all of it. You can list some of it, but not all of it. There's a reason for that. I'll get to it in a moment. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Before this world was ever created, before there was anything made by God's hand, he had you in mind. Before he created the earth, before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the galaxies, he knew you. He had you in mind. You were in his mind before anything was created and before you were ever born into this world. There's somebody who cares for you and has known you from before the foundation of the world itself. Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to adoption as children through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind purpose of his will. Why is that word adoption used? Because he knows this person he knew before the foundation, whose name he knew before the foundation of the world, was going to break away from him. But he would bring him back to adoption. He would recover us and bring us back. Adopted us as children. That's what it's the Greek word for men and women, through Jesus Christ, according to the kind purpose of his will, that he would have a family and it would be an eternal family. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's why Jesus came in the world. In 1:13, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. All the work that God does in you, in calling you, in providing salvation for you, even when you go through your times of doubting and wonder, maybe even if you're a Christian, it says he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And even when you don't feel it, the Holy Spirit works in you if your intention is to be his child and walk after him. Amazing language. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 4, and 5. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You couldn't do a thing to help yourself. Dead men can't do a thing. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Made alive together with Christ. What happened to Christ? He died. What happened to Christ? He rose again. And we've been made alive through his resurrection. We are joined to him. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. Who were strangers and aliens? They're those who are not of God's house. They don't belong to him. But because of his work of salvation in you, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household. We are in his family. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22, you are growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. All of his children, God is doing something with us, and that thing he's doing is turning us into his dwelling place. He adds one stone, another stone, another stone, and we come in, and we are being made one glorious dwelling place of God. I love the description of Revelation. It said, I saw God's dwelling place coming down out of the heavens, and it refers to them as people. Stones, living stones, being put together to comprise the dwelling place of God, which will be his dwelling place for eternity. Ephesians 3:19, God has done all of this so that you may know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Well, there are many grand and reassuring statements in this passage. Some are hard to understand because they speak of the wonders of God's great love and the mysteries of our salvation. Realities too difficult to explain in human language. The passage we just read tells us, and that is the one that says that we might know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It says to us that we come to know the love of God which surpasses knowledge. And in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul writes, thanks be unto God for his indescribable, inexplainable, unexplainable gift. The things he mentions in these first three chapters, I can't explain to you. All he can say to us is these are unexplainable things, great mysteries, great works of God that cannot now be understood by the human mind. We study the attributes of God. We often say God is knowable and God is unknowable. He's knowable because he revealed himself to us. But there are parts of him that are unknowable because he's too big to explain. We cannot take human language, which is limited, even that which is used to write the Bible is limited, and God is greater than all of that. So there are many mysteries surrounding this God who loved us before the foundation of the world and called us to be his children. Well, along with all the aforementioned gifts and blessings from God, one grand gift is explained and elaborated in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. The gift of the presence, personal presence, and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Think of these words here. Ephesians 1:13. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned before, a seal is something that shows ownership. We're owned by the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed by him. God the Father gives us the spirit of wisdom. Some of your Bibles have a small s there, but most of the scholars that I consulted put a big S there, a capital S, because it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18, we have access to the Father through one Spirit. Ephesians 2:22, we are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Ephesians 3:4-5, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. Before the Holy Spirit was given, people would experience the work of the Spirit, but it was usually because he came to help them in a certain task, and then after that task was done, he would go back. Something happened when the church was born. The Holy Spirit came to live in each one of us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He is there forever. We can rely and trust the Holy Spirit each day to be working in our lives. And I will tell you this, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as one who has accepted him, he is working in your life. Whether you feel anything, whether you sense anything, the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and he's at work in me. So Paul prays in 3:16 of Ephesians that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 4:1-3. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Very speaking to our life together in the church, that we would give ourselves over so the Holy Spirit can use us in building the body of Christ, being faithful members in the church. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I remember when I first realized this, back when I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, and Dr. Ralph Kuyper came and gave a series of messages on the Holy Spirit, and I'd never heard anything like this before. The Lord really convicted me, and I remember going back to my room after the end of that conference and getting down on my knees and praying for the very first time in my life, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. But he had said, no, you can talk to the Holy Spirit too. And so I said, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come in to my life. And that became a life practice of mine for years and years and years and years. Starting off a new day, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, dwell in me this day. And that's a life-changing experience when we yield ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That word filled there is actually the Greek word which means be yielded to the Spirit. I yield myself to you. Work in me. Ephesians 6:17, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Well, my last couple of sentences there begin with, the two greatest gifts of God to mankind are presented in the two major themes of Ephesians. Ephesians 1-3, the gift of his Son, the riches of his grace that are found in Christ Jesus. And then in chapters 4-6, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thanked God this morning for all kinds of gifts that he has given to us, for our families, for our homes, for the neighborhoods that we live in. We thanked him for all of these things, which all, I want you to just think about this, which are all created gifts from God. Created gifts from God. Here are two gifts that are uncreated. The Son, who has been the Son of the Father forever, and the Holy Spirit, who has been with the Father and the Son forever. What are the greatest gifts that have been given to you and to me? The greatest gifts are that the Father, that the Son, and the Holy Spirit have given themselves to us as our greatest gifts. What more can I do than give myself back to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to nurture that relationship? The gift of Himself is what He gave me. So I praise Him. I give thanks. I want to know Him. I want Him to lead me and guide me. And I need to know He never leaves me. I never escape His presence. Someone said a long time ago, and it stuck with me, you'll never be closer to God now in heaven than you are now. He's here today. We just need to grow in our awareness of His presence in our lives. Let me pray. Father, encourage us through this time we've had this morning. We love You. We thank You, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, for the gift of Yourself to us. And help us to know that You are indeed with us every day of our lives, every place we go. When we aren't thinking about You, You're still there. We love You. And we thank You that You've given us each other, that we might remind one another of the greatest gifts that have been given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We have coffee and we have scones. Homemade scones.
Okay. Can you copy these two pages, this one and that one? Want me to hold them?
Which one? On the left or right?
Left.
Left?
Left.
Okay. Move your finger just a little bit. Okay. Okay.
How was your trip? I bet you're tired. Yeah. Happy birthday, day late. You should focus on being where you are. All right, I gotta go turn off the little tape recorder.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yes. You made the scones, right?
What?
You made
yes.
the scones.
Yes.
I'm going to have one of those.
Oh, good. Take some home. Put them in your pocket. Thank you. I love that. That's a great book.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading it thinking it's our identity, too. And in the first early verses, I was wanted, I was loved, I was chosen, I was adopted. And I think of Erin Walker, who just makes one bad choice after. But she's looking for someone to love her, anyone to love her. And I think if I could just put her nose in that, you are wanted, you're chosen, you're loved, you're adopted. But yeah, it's just profound. Great book, many blessings.
Too deep to understand it all.
Yeah, yeah.
But enough to understand.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. Yeah.